Welcome back to the Road to the Olympics podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Scullion, or if you're new to this channel, I'm an Irish marathon runner. I run 2:09 for the marathon and recently competed at the Tokyo Olympics, albeit not very well. But I guess that was the whole purpose to start this podcast. I go through the good parts, the ugly parts, and everything in between. How I've struggled with mental health, how running's really helped me get back to, you know, the highs of life, the happy parts of life, and I hope you can gain something insightful out of today's episode. So hey guys, hope everybody's doing well. I hope you enjoyed the new introduction to the podcast. I felt it was important to, just add a little introduction, little bit of music, and then, you know, the welcome back if you're new, and I thought it made it a little bit more official. I've kind of changed the name of the podcast to Road to the Olympics, which I guess it kind of was initially, but now I'm just not really specifying which Olympics, which I don't really think that matters. Paris, Tokyo, etc., etc. Tokyo's already been, Paris is upcoming, you know, who knows beyond that. I'm going to try and make a bigger effort with the podcast, both in terms of doing updates from myself, which is part of the journey. But the reason I, you know, sort of changed it to Road to the Olympics is it would, it might just allow for maybe more interviewing of guests, Q&As with certain guests, maybe Q&As with not just, you know, other athletes, but perhaps other professionals, whether that could be psychologists, nutritionists, sports scientists, coaches, etc., etc. Really trying to still bring as much useful information, either from myself, but you know, I don't have all the answers, so you know, getting an insight. I am going to finish that. I'm so itchy. What is itching me? I think it's allergies, and like it, we got absolutely drenched on the run this morning. And so I'm not sure if now I'm having a allergic reaction to, obviously not rain, but I've clearly ran through something, or there was, I don't know, pollen on the floor. I don't know, but I'm coming out in like hives and it's really itchy. Anyway, enough for the ranting. So yeah, I don't have all the answers and I don't know everything. So, you know, I think it'd be great to move back in a direction of, getting some guests and trying to push the podcast a little bit more. And try to get more people interested in listening and all that kind of thing. So, but I'm still in St. Moritz, which, Jesus, by now this is like a miracle. I'm coming up on 3 weeks. I stay here for another, I guess I've hit the halfway point almost in my camp. I think tomorrow will be, no, Wednesday will be halfway. And then I've still got 22 days. So I've still got like 3 weeks in one day. So it's going to be like, I think it's going to be total 6 weeks and 2 days. I leave Thursday the 28th of July, and then I race the Commonwealth Games Marathon on the 30th of July. I mean, I can't speak for everybody. I have this idea in my head that like everybody else would find it easier to just stay up a mountain and train. And I'm sure if you've seen things on Strava or Instagram, you've seen how beautiful it is. But I still kind of struggle. Not like every day, but maybe still like a couple of days a week where I'd, you know, want to maybe go somewhere else or back to London or back to Belfast. And it's just that underlying unsteadiness, I suppose you could call it. I think that that's obviously a lot more, that's psychological. It's not logical. The logical part of the brain would definitely be screaming at me to stay in St. Moritz and keep things simple and get the training done and train well and train, you know, as much as I can within the realms of not getting too tired, not getting injured, etc., etc. But the, I don't know if it's like emotional or chimp or whatever you want to call it, or yeah, just maybe something I struggle with in life. That part of me is the, you know, the part that's like, run away, run for the hills. Well, run away from the hills, you know, back to London. And then I would get back to London for like a day or two. And I'd be like, why did you do that? Like, you should have just stayed up the mountain. And so like everything's great. Training's good. Life here's good. It's beautiful. I have company. There's happiness, there's joy, there's a sense of achievement. So there's no desire to leave because anything's wrong. I guess it's just something I've always dealt with, is that feeling or underlying. I like calling it an unsteadiness, because it's kind of like sometimes when you could imagine how it would feel physically if you felt like fidgety. But with me, it's not physical. It's just like a psychological fidgetness where, yeah, the brain just feels a bit like it should do something. It should react to something when, you know, there's nothing to react to. Like, you know, just there's a lot of times in life I'd literally be better taking like 3 days off, three full rest days, than I would like flying somewhere or changing something quite abruptly the way I often have in the past. Like, I'd be far better off just taking three complete days off than I would, you know, booking a flight today from Zurich to London and getting on a train and like upsetting everything and changing everything. But okay, so aside from that, I'm going to give myself a round of applause because, you know, I've done really, really well to be settled until now and train the way I have and, you know, stayed focused and know that the big goal is the Commonwealth Games Marathon. Training has been, you know, training's been good. I don't quite think the fitness is at its peak yet. So you go through, I think sometimes you get tired before you get fit, and I think that's fair. And so I'm not like too tired that I'm not training well, but I'm also tired enough that I don't think I'm quite seeing, and it's altitude, so I'm not quite seeing the full effect of the work that I've put in. Because, you know, at the end of the day, I ran a decent 10K 6-7 weeks ago, or maybe like 2 months ago now, the 28:40, which is much, much better than, you know, perhaps I ran a 10K way back in December and then started my Rotterdam build up. So I started the Commonwealth Games Marathon build up in much better, you know, fitness than I started the Rotterdam build up. But I guess because I'm doing a lot of these sessions at altitude, it's difficult to get excited about the fitness, because it is a lot tougher. The sessions at altitude come a little bit harder. The track stuff seems to be going well. You know, I've done lots of good track stuff that has got me, you know, pretty excited about that kind of fitness, but I guess the long runs are starting to feel good. So the long runs of been a little bit different to previous long runs, whereby I'm not so much pushing the pace. Instead, we've been running over hills quite a lot. So trying to make the run as not necessarily as hilly as possible, because I could just run up the mountain, but trying to make it as similar to the Birmingham course as we can. So undulating, but not too steep that you can't, you know, still work a bit and run at a sort of decent pace, I suppose you could say. But the first sort of like Sunday that I did like 2 hours 20 minutes, like I was knackered. You know, I finished and, you know, I I really, really, really had to work the last like 5 minutes to just, and that was more psychological, but I was just getting very tired and I wanted to stop and my legs were tired. And I remember thinking like, this is what I've missed. I've missed these like longer runs where you're out for well over 2 hours. Whereas obviously before Rotterdam, I did do like a 20 mile run, but because I ran it quite fast, you know, it didn't take that long. You might be looking at like 1 hour, 40 minutes, 1 hour, 45 minutes. And so that's kind of the danger. You haven't really been out there for that long. And maybe that's one of the reasons, you know, I struggled at Rotterdam, because I didn't quite have the time in the legs. Whereas I think for the last 6 weeks, I've ran over 2 hours and 15 minutes every Sunday. And then I double that afternoon. So I come back in the afternoon and I do 35 to 40 minutes. The mileage has been my, you know, my best ever. I think I've averaged between 110 and 120 miles a week. That's like 175 to 190 kilometers a week for the last, I think, 6 weeks now, which is really quite impressive. And I don't want to say, and I am going to say it, but I shouldn't, but like, I'm going to say like, it's really impressive for me, because, you know, some people that's nothing to them. You know, there's a lot of athletes run 120 miles a week, you know, for every marathon buildup. I think I can't speak for sure, but I think Kevin Seward told me before his 210, he had averaged maybe like 120 miles a week for 10 weeks. And I also think he might have told me that it was mostly at 6 minute mile pace, 6 minutes per mile. And I remember being really impressed by that. Like, that's a really solid buildup, it's a lot of hard work, put it that way. And so when I say for me, the reason I say that is because I think obviously London, I think I averaged roughly about 80 miles per week for those 10 weeks. And that was mainly because I raced the Antrim Coast Half Marathon. And so I tapered quite a lot for that. And then I had to recover quite a lot after. So of course the 10 weeks leading in wasn't full training. But I think before that, my highest ever would be something like 88 miles per week for those sort of final 10 to 12 weeks. And I used to actually keep a note of this. So I bet I actually still have it. Yeah, there you go. So, so I used to keep a note of the final, see, here we go. Houston Marathon. 214, went the wrong way, 12 weeks, 88 miles per week average. Dublin Marathon, 212.01, final 12 weeks, average mileage, 85.6 miles per week. So it just shows you, like, I have little notes and little records, I suppose you could say, of the average mileage that, you know, led to different results. So there's Houston Marathon, 2:11:52, 12 weeks average, 88 miles per week. So yeah, I do have the stats for Rotterdam, but I didn't do the average. I have London Marathon, 2:09:48. Final 12 weeks, average mileage 78. That was quite low, but that's because of Antrim Coast Half Marathon. And then I think the 2 weeks before the half were like 70 and 60. And then the 3 weeks after the half marathon were like 55, because I had like injury problems and tiredness from running 61 minutes. But so when I, you know, I literally just told you guys that for the last 6 weeks, I've been, I think the average is like 114. You can tell that 114 is a lot higher than 88 or 90 or, you know, certainly 70 odd from London. But I think what I'm going to tell you is you can't get too excited about that or too caught up in it, because like mileage is just mileage. If you run for 40 minutes at 6:30 per mile, well, if I do, that's a minute and a half per mile slower than my race pace. It doesn't necessarily mean I'm gaining a lot. So yes, on paper, you've ran for 6 weeks, you've ran 30 miles a week more than you've, you know, ever done in terms of an average leading into a race. But if those 30 miles are, like I said, 6 to 6:30 per mile pace, it doesn't tell the full story. Now, if those 30 miles were all done at threshold, well, then that's fucking huge. That's huge. And so mileage is only one part of the equation. Really, really what's important is, have you done enough training at good intensities that is going to lead to, you know, a pretty fucking good result, because you've put in the right work, the right amount of work at the right intensities, etc., etc. And so one of the things that I got right before Rotterdam was, you know, I might not have got the long runs right, but I certainly done heaps of training at the right intensity. So if you remember back to podcasts around then, I was doing heaps and heaps of work at that sort of good 2 millimole, 3 millimole, anything from 2 to 4 millimoles was in a really good place. This build up, I've been training with a group, and so there's been probably a lot less emphasis on, you know, lactate testing and things like this. And so, yeah, it's going to be interesting, but I believed I needed to make changes with Paris in mind. I truly believed that to get a good result come Paris, you know, the next Olympics, I needed help. I needed a group. I needed a coach that, you know, I completely trusted and would listen to, and really listen to is the key thing there. And a group that I knew I could help them, and then they could help me. So, you know, you don't want it to be one way where, you know, they're just helping you, because I don't think that forms a very good group. You like to feel valued. You like to feel like you're a valuable member of any sort of group, etc., etc. And so, you know, I've just got very lucky, I suppose you could say, that I'm now in a situation where I have almost a team, and that really helps. It really helped the last month or so of training. And I genuinely believe it's going to help even more in the months to come, and you know, hopefully the, like, call it years to come, because, you know, Paris is the big goal. Commonwealth's, I guess, to summarize that little bit, what I mean by that is, like, of course, I know certain things that have worked in the past. For example, when I trained for London Marathon, you know, on a Sunday, we did these, you know, really hard long runs. And I suppose I could ask my coach right now, hey, you know, these really worked for London. Do you think it's what I should do for the Commonwealth Games? And it's not that I don't want to run well at the Commonwealth Games. Of course I do. Why am I up a mountain? Why am I running 120 miles a week? But I'm also trying to have a long-term approach also, whereby, like, if I did a hard long run next weekend, would that help the Commonwealth Games? Possibly. But I've never done a hard long run in a week's training where I'm running 120 miles a week with a big marathon session in there. Because, you know, in the build up to London, I didn't really do big marathon sessions. I just relied on the hard long run. And so it seems almost unfair and unwise to take little parts of stuff you've done previously and try to add them into something new, when for all you know, the new thing might actually work better. You know, like I said, 30 miles a week more, I'm now back doing the, you know, the, I think they're pretty standard, but, you know, maybe they're not to the, you know, public or guys listening. Like, you know, I'm doing the 20K reps where you alternate pace, slightly above marathon pace, and then you back off a bit to slightly below. You know, I've done the 7x2K where you're, you know, just a bit above marathon effort and then you back off a little bit. 6x3K, you know, 5x4K, etc., etc. Like, I know these are marathon sessions that most elite professional international marathon runners will have done at some point of their career, if not every build up. And so I didn't do things like that in the build up for London because we relied heavily on that hard Sunday run. And so where I'm kind of going with that is I'm trusting this new system. I'm really giving it a go. I'm really buying into it. I'm going to do it and give it a chance. And what I don't want to do is try to take little parts of a previous system and then maybe get tired, maybe get injured, maybe both. And then you don't even really get to see if, you know, you're 6 weeks at altitude and you're 6 weeks above 110 miles per week, you don't even get to see if it worked because you get tired or injured before you even get to test it. And remember, this is a process whereby, yes, the Commonwealth Games is really important, but these changes that I made was not just to help the Commonwealth Games, but it was to help Paris. It was to help future races. I basically got frustrated that, and I'm sure you guys do too, and I'm sure Ireland did also, just frustrated with inconsistent results on my behalf, whereby, you know, you go from a 209 runner, you know, then you're a DNF at the Olympics, then you're back to, you know, 220 at Boston, then you're like kind of on for 209 at Rotterdam, but you don't actually get it done. And okay, I was just getting frustrated with the inconsistency. And once I started training with this group, and you know, I was doing, excuse me, but I was doing track stuff that was really impressive. Really, really impressive, actually. It showed me that nothing had changed in terms of my ability and call it talent and words like this, you know, like potential, not really talent, but potential, ability and things like this. Like, the ability was still there. All that had changed was inconsistency in my preparation. And probably if you looked back at all my different marathon build-ups, you could see that inconsistency, especially when the results don't quite add up to, you know, that word that we all know, like or dislike, but potential. And so, yeah, I just knew I needed to make some changes and I made them, and I've really bought into it and I've trusted it. And, you know, I do what I'm told. So if I'm told to do 2:20 and not to do it really hard, well, you know, that's what I do. It's, of course, you can look back and think, oh no, but that hard run maybe really helped this race in 2020. But you have to trust that what you're doing now could be even better. And that takes patience, and it takes trust. And then also that, you know, the difference might be that, you know, yes, had you done a couple of harder runs, perhaps in this build-up, it might have had an immediate effect, but that effect could also be tiredness or injury. But also, is it sustainable for, you know, 3 years towards, like, Paris Olympics? Who knows? We don't know the answer to that. So, yeah, it's about managing expectations of myself, not trying to rush things, understanding that some of these changes were put in place to help the next couple of years, not just the next build-up. It's all in a fairly good place. So keep building, finish off this build-up towards the Commonwealth Games, fly direct from altitude to Birmingham, which is, let me tell you, that's going to feel incredible. I already am so excited about getting on that train on the Thursday, knowing that you've done everything you can. Hopefully your preparation was smooth, and all that's left is to get to Birmingham and, you know, get to the start line of the Commonwealth Games. It'll be the first time in a while that I've finished a preparation up the mountain. And that's a really cool feeling, let me tell you. Like getting on a plane, knowing, you know, you were willing to isolate yourself up the mountain and purely work on the little things and building the fitness and your gym stuff, your rehab stuff, your stretching, your good nutrition, your, honest to goodness, guys, like all I do at the minute is run, eat, sleep, and run again. It's no wonder, like, I've been able to run the volumes that I have been and stay healthy, because honest to God, like my day aside from running and eating and napping is, oh, and I drink a lot of coffee. I think I'm drinking too much coffee. I'm on like 4 cups a day. I'm just gonna have another sip of my coffee now that I remind myself that. But yeah, I'm probably drinking a bit too much. But yeah, I want some big results. I know tons of people talk in this way, but when I'm out running, especially when I'm like doubling, or I'm out there doubling last night, and, you know, I've seen the Kenyan team for the Commonwealth Games, and, you know, I know it looks really strong, and but I don't fucking care. I get out there and I do everything I can. I'll run 130 mile a week. And if it means for once, at least on the start line, I've matched the previous 2-3 months that these guys have done. Because remember, I'm normally on that start line thinking, God, I've only ran like 90 miles a week. They run 120, 130. Not this time. This time I'm going to stand on that start line knowing I've been at altitude for, you know, 6-7 weeks. I've been running 120, 130 mile a week. Last 2 weeks have been over 120. I think I'm going to stand on that start line and think, let's go. You know, they don't, at that point, they won't have a huge advantage over me. So, no, I'm excited. I don't want to say too much because, you know, there's still three and a bit weeks to go. Almost four, but yeah, geez, we're down to like 3 weeks and 5 days, I think, which is intense. But yeah, no, it's all going to be worth it. But yeah, look, guys, that's all for today. Today was just more of an update. And I do have a guest interview set up. I just need to figure out when I'm going to do that and then get it uploaded. But thanks for listening. Hope you guys are well. Take care.